You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
Pastor John Kilpatrick talks now specifically about watch what happens, and he's speaking prophetically now as God begins to shake governments. Let's go check it out.
Watch what happens when the Lord shakes up governments. I'm prophesying to you. I'm not speaking right now. I'm not preaching. I'm prophesying to you. Watch what happens when the Lord begins to shake governments. Watch what happens whenever he interferes with their agenda. Hear me. Watch what happens when he interferes with their agenda. Watch what happens when leadership is suddenly shifted and changed and nobody knows why. Watch what happens with parliaments, the House of Commons, Congress, the House and the Senate, news organizations, in sports. Athletes are going to be saved almost overnight and start preaching almost overnight. Many of them have been paid millions of dollars and they found out it did not satisfy. They lost their families. They lost their peace. They lost all kinds of things. Money doesn't satisfy. They're going to turn from money to ministry almost overnight. They're going to turn from alcoholism and drugs and other addictions and begin having prayer meetings in the clubhouses because that's the kind of work God is about to do among athletes. Whether you can believe this or not, statesmen are going to start preaching the gospel from the Senate floor and in congressional hallways. Statesmen and stateswomen will begin preaching to the cameras instead of talking about this, instead of talking about that. They're going to start talking about the things of God. You may say, Brother Kilpatrick, I just don't believe that. Well, you just wait and see. You'll see it. I said, you'll see it. Number three, this will be the result of a holy awe and pure worship in holy places. Now, somebody says, what about Kanye West? I don't really know. I've been following Kanye for quite a while. It might surprise some of you. But I remember when his mother died and she was having liposuction done years ago. And I remember she died suddenly. And I saw him crying as they interviewed him on television. And I heard the Lord say to me years ago when I saw it on television, the Lord said, I've got my hand on him. Sometimes people get worse before they get better. But Kanye West has had an experience with the Lord. I saw it coming. I saw that he became bold and didn't care what the publicity said about him. And he didn't care what they said about him in other ways. And I said, boy, if he would just get saved and take that same boldness into Christianity, we might have something. Well, he did. He got saved. Look at that. His new album came out. That's in Baton Rouge. His new album came out. And he sang along with the choir. He took the whole choir with him on the airplane. They went to Baton Rouge. And it was outdoors. And he gave an altar call and over 1,000 people accepted Christ as their Savior. Come on, give God praise. You can do better. Get that all for you. Listen. Listen to me. Listen to me. Get that spirit off of you. Come alive. Rejoice. God is doing great things. Get that stuff off of you. Woo. Here's what the Holy Spirit said to me. He said, how some people have been known, they won't be known like that anymore. They got publicity and they got hearers and they got fans. But what I'm about to do is turn their life around. And they already have a fan base, so when they see what I've done for them, many will come into the kingdom. Come on, give him praise. Recently, God began moving in New Orleans on Bourbon Street. There's a bar there called Saints and Sinners. One evening, this guy went in with a couple of his friends, and he's a worship leader, and he went in, and the bar was not many people there that night. And he went in and he said to the bar owner, he said, "Hey, would you mind if I play my guitar and sing?" He said, "Oh, go ahead, I don't care." So the guy started singing worship music at the Saints and Sinner Bar on Bourbon Street. When he started singing about the glory of the Lord, people began to fall off the bar stools and fall on the floor. Come on! Come on! Come on, church! Oh my God, he's up to something! I tell you, he's up to something! God's up to something! And they began to fall off their seats, their bar stools, in the floor, spilling their drinks and crying in the floor. And the bar owner said, "What did you do?" He said, "I'm just singing about Jesus Christ." You know, sometimes we get so inoculated to that kind of thing in church where we hear worship music and we hear preaching. But you got to remember, there's people out there that never hears preaching, they never hear worship. And whenever God invades their space, they just fall right in the floor, start crying. That's what's about to happen in the streets of America. I said that's about to happen in the streets of America. Oh my God.
That's about to happen in the streets of America. Is that not awesome? We're seeing, I remember watching, you know, Kanye West. You can probably see an image of him right here. Kanye West, you know, I didn't listen to his stuff prior to this particular encounter because it was just not good. But the Holy Spirit just led me to just watch what was taking place at these gatherings that was taking place. They call them Sunday services or whatever. And I'm watching people just, the music is so anointed and God's Holy Spirit's moving. And I'm familiar with the glory of God. I'm familiar with, you know, what took place at Brownsville and how God taught us about his glory. And I've been longing for this sound, by the way. I just can't go into details, but I've been just longing for what sounds being loosed here. And I'm sitting here watching, for example, they went to Jamaica. They're literally going to different cities, but this particular encounter, they were in Jamaica. They're just worshiping God, you know, and literally I'm just, the whole time, I think of my grandson, David, I'm just looking and going, what? I mean, it's just, what? I mean, you know, you have to be careful because, you know, when God moves, it's going to be so different than you're used to seeing. But that's what we need. We need to break out of the things, the traditions of man, which makes God's word and power of non-effect in our lives. God is God. God has never left. As a matter of fact, think about 1966, Time Magazine, when they actually put up on the front page in 1966, they said, God is dead. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it now. God is dead. That's right. They put it on Time Magazine. We had the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. The soon to come is the assassination of, you can pull that image down, the assassination of soon to be Senator Robert Kennedy. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I mean, it was just a tragic rebellion, the Vietnam War. The family was being broken up. They're in the rudiments of abortion would begin to be legalized. Divorce was basically legalized. Everything was turning upside down. And so in 1966, they put on the cover, God is dead. 5 years later, the same magazine in 1971 says God is alive. He has a son. His son is Jesus. And this is what's taken. They start writing in the article how strip clubs have been turned over to coffee shops, Christian coffee shops in Washington and different states all around the world. God's just moving all around. And they're going like, this is when they had what, you know, they call it the hippie movement, you know, the free love, the Woodstock that took place, all that generation, you know, that they're just rebelling against anything that was established. But guess what? In the middle of all that, God went down and just loved on every one of them, and many of them came in to know the Lord. As a matter of fact, some of these business people you see today, they're in suits and they own their companies and stuff, they were one of those people in that generation, which means no matter what it looks like, God can totally take it over. And right now we're seeing what took place with Kanye West. It's just an amazing thing. I mean, he's kind of stumbling. Understand, as a new believer, when people are brand new believers, first of all, that means they're a believer. New means I got to figure this out. It means that I got to learn, you know, be discipled to somebody to teach me about the things of God. And I've never seen a more openness about, you know, what he says, some of his lyrics. So he actually had the album that he'd released out of this whole process. And the title of it, he wanted to be just direct and unapologetic to make sure nobody confuses anything. He says, we're going to title this album Jesus is King. I don't know if you can see it right now, but Jesus is King. Think about that. Jesus is King. Is this, think about this. There's so many different things. There's so many different things that, you know, and sometimes we're being so sensitive that we're not even bringing Jesus up. He wanted to make sure that everybody knew he is declaring the lordship and sonship of Jesus Christ. But then he started having those Sunday gatherings. Then he would bring a pastor in to come and preach the gospel, just like Billy Graham would preach the gospel. And so thousands of people come to be able to hear what God is doing with his gift in regards to music. And all of a sudden, when they preach the gospel, thousands are getting saved. Thousands. People that followed Kanye in his historical career now are coming by the thousands, tens of thousands, to hear what he has to say. And they are accepting, making Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. And think about the 60s and the hippie movement in the 70s and what was going on. I think about, you know, Lonnie Frisbee and other ones that he was out there just like everybody else. But God touched him and brought him in. And all of a sudden, people started coming to the Lord because of his ministry and ministries just like him. I believe Calvary Chapel was birthed, or at least was definitely fueled in that particular time, what was going on. That's when Liberty Church was around and began to embrace what God was doing with a spiritual father-to-be in the Lord who's now with the Lord, Ken Summerall, Brother Ken Summerall, where he was on a ride one day with in a bus, and he was coming back from ministering somewhere. It's a long story how he had to be on the bus because the people didn't do something they should have done. And he was on the bus with a particular man that people would identify that time as a hippie. In other words, probably shirtless, you know, no shoes, just kind of floating around or whatever. Probably didn't use a lot of, you know, things like deodorant and things like that. And so his mindset was against, he just thought, you know, how can God, his generation thought, how can God touch this generation? But then this particular man that he was sitting beside started smoking and Ken Summerall, Brother Ken said, do you mind putting that out? The guy says, no problem at all. And he goes, well, nice hippie. Right, that's what he said. And all of a sudden he began to talk, and he's like, my goodness, you know, my perceptions were totally wrong about this. So he goes back to his church, he said, listen, you know, he talked to everybody, he says, listen, we're going to start allowing and reaching out to this hippie generation and get the church to invite them in. He said it wasn't difficult because he said he was the only one that wouldn't let them in. And so once he opened the doors up, their literally their church just started growing, and it's when Liberty Bible College was birthed, and just all these things happened. They would show up on the front row with a big fat family Bible, barefoot, sitting there with a big Bible just to hear everything that God had to say. It's just like a Kanye West moment. So you have to be prepared for what's going on. Even though Time Magazine thought it was totally over, it wasn't over. 5 years later, because of all that pain, all the tragedy, what was still to come? Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was going to be horrifically assassinated in 1968. Months later, Senator Robert Kennedy, running for president, would be assassinated. You know, just marriage falling apart, families falling apart. Guess what? God was about to move. Evil was happening, but goodness was about to break forth. And I think about this, and Pastor Kilpatrick just talked about this, talking about the Bourbon Street revival. And understand, you know, I know about Bourbon Street because before I knew the Lord, you know, I worked on Bourbon Street. I had worked at Amoco Oil, and I was a teenager just working there. And I lived off of Reed Boulevard, and it was not a place that you would think a revival would take place right there. It was just full of debauchery and all that kind of stuff. But there's a bar there, and Chris Burns, a worship leader, went just to ask them, you know, do you mind if I come here on a certain night and begin to play worship? It's called the Saints in the Center Bar. As a matter of fact, this is Chris Burns talking about what's taking place. Listen, God's going to rock this whole thing and break it up. God's in love with everyone. He wants everyone to come to the saving knowledge. Everybody's going to have a chance. Make sure that you don't say no to what God is saying yes to. Check this out. This is Bourbon Street Revival taking place at the Saints and Sinner Bar. Check it out.
Hey guys, Chris here. I am right in the middle of New Orleans. We're on Bourbon Street, smack dab in the middle of the French Quarter. Listen, God has opened a door for a bar right here in New Orleans, aptly called Saints and Sinners, to host a move of God. Little did we know that when the bar opened up to us and said, come in, do whatever you want, you know, we didn't know what it was going to turn into, but it's nothing short of a miracle. I mean, you can't come down here on Bourbon Street and just get a bar. These places are, you know, enormous and exaggerated rent prices, but we have a miracle in that we've had a door open right here where we can worship. Now, guys, we had no idea what was happening when I first came. We felt God move extravagantly. Now listen, I've been in good meetings. I've been in many, many glory-filled meetings. But what is happening here is different. And I'm telling you, there is a move of God happening here on Bourbon Street in a bar. Now we've seen revival in churches. We've seen revival and moves of God happen in churches. And years past, our paradigm of revival was that we'd gather in the church and have meetings every night. But what God is doing here is so unique. We're in a bar. It's a real bar. And, you know, they're serving booze. And people are coming off the streets. And homeless people and street people are coming in. And people are coming in with their drinks. And we are just exuberantly, passionately worshiping Jesus. And it's not built off of any ministry. There is no church that is endorsing or sponsoring this. We're here completely of our own volition. And I just want to tell you guys what is going on. People are being saved. People are being delivered. The lost are being found. Miracles are breaking out. I myself am being touched. I laid on the floor for hours as God touched me. We didn't do any music. No one could move. And the place just groaned and sang as God moved throughout the bar. This is a move. This is a sign of what God is doing. No place is safe from the presence of God in these days. No longer will we be in revivals where only churches are touched inside the four walls, but God is moving in a bar in the middle of Bourbon Street in New Orleans. It's a new day of revival, and I believe this is a first fruits, an exclamation point of what God wants to do in America. Listen, we're meeting on Sunday nights and Monday nights right now. And we are just going with the flow. We almost have no idea what's going on. We're just going with whatever God's doing. We're not doing an old paradigm of revival that says meet every night and burn yourself out. Listen, we come in here after not being together for, you know, 2-3 weeks, and God is still the same and greater. It keeps increasing. So I want to tell you, come and experience what God is doing here on Bourbon Street. It is unprecedented. I believe it's historic. And because we didn't want to name it after a church or a ministry or a man or base it around the gifts or anointings or charisma of a person, we said, Jesus, this is your revival. So we're calling it simply the Bourbon Street Revival, the Bourbon Street Outpouring. That's what it is. So I encourage you, pray for us. Listen, if the Lord moves on your heart, come join us. Give to us. No church supports this. So we just welcome your prayers, your seed, your love. That if you want to come and be a part of this, I encourage you. This is historic. God is breaking out in New Orleans with revival. And there is a fresh sound that's going throughout this city. And I believe it's going to touch America.
Right? What? What's going on? You got to tune your ears to the sound of revival. What does it look like when God begins to move in the face of the earth? You're seeing things. I mean, the reason why people would go, and there's great people that live in New Orleans. We got friends of ours that live there, the DeJesus's and other folks, and the church is there. But a lot of people go to New Orleans, if not to go watch the New Orleans Saints play, to go there and do things that are not godly, to sin. And I remember working there on Bourbon Street, that I was selling T-shirts and different things in the store. And it would be business people from other cities that would come, and they have their company credit cards and different things. They got their women that are not their spouses, and it was just a place of sin, you know. And you know, obviously I was in sin as well, as being there as well, just a sin. See, I remember then later on when God saves me, and we're moving with Vine Fellowship Network, and God begins to speak to me about we got to go to New Orleans. Now to go back and to begin to just scout out what is God wanting to do in New Orleans. So we left from Pensacola, myself and Pat Hamilton, and we have people praying for us. And we're going to just go and walk the land and pray over New Orleans and see if God wants to be able to plant, you know, a church there. He's going to turn hearts. And we got there. We're in the city of New Orleans. This is what's happening there. That's why you think, well, how could this be so dramatic like that? It's very dramatic in New Orleans. I mean, there's principalities, there's spirits everywhere trying to do things. But Pat and I, remember Pat Hamilton and I were there. We're at the Best Western Hotel right there in the French Quarter area, staying the night. There was a restaurant down below. I mean, while we're eating dinner there that night, you know, we're just sitting at a table eating. But guess who knew we were there? Darkness knew we were there. They knew that these two men were coming there with the light of God's presence to be able to hopefully save people that would get saved. And so somebody just literally runs up to our table and just begins to demonically manifest. It's just crazy. I remember I said, she touched Pat's straw. He was drinking, like, she touched your straw. I remember it's like these weird things were going on. So we go to our hotel room that night, you know, and he had like two full-size beds, and Pat's in one of the beds, I'm in one of the beds, and we're just, you know, sleeping that night. But as I was sleeping, I was on my back. When I was on my back sleeping, it was like a blanket of just pressure just came down and just, it's almost like paralysis, but just pressed down on me hard. It's hard to explain. Just like I couldn't move, I couldn't say anything. This evil presence just pressed on me. But Paul said, we're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Guess what? Even though the devil's trying to push on me, that he couldn't access me. But I couldn't say anything, and Pat just kept sleeping in the bed next to me. And so finally I was able to go, Jesus, and get, you know, the thing left or whatever it was. But you have to understand, there's a spirit of darkness, and there's God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of light. And we were bringing the light there, and they were trying to intimidate us. This environment was, a spiritual environment was to say, don't get out of here. So he's trying to intimidate us, because it didn't bother Pat at all that happened to me. And so the next particular, we're praying over the next day over New Orleans. We go over into Gretna area, and we had this awesome prophetic encounter with Leo and Sandy DeJesus, these wonderful people of God. And just we'll go into all that. But anyway, so that night we're staying in a hotel, kind of the same situation. And this time in Gretna, Louisiana, that the same thing that happened to me, I believe Pat was on his face down. He was face down over there on his bed, and it pressed on him. And he couldn't move. Same thing. It was literally saying, get out of here. You know, and he finally was able to go, Jesus, you know, and the thing just leaves. And we're excited. Like, man, we're like, dude, this is good, man. We're like, and now when we see what's happening right now, when Bourbon Street and these people are crying out, you have to understand, that's the kind of force you need. You got to just go in there and just praise and worship God and just take it back. And so things are happening spiritually. I know things are happening spiritually when somebody goes after God. I'm so excited. So, I mean, you can't even put that in your mind, right? What's taking place? Listen, remember, Jesus wasn't even allowed in the buildings. Here's God. God's in the flesh. Jesus is walking. God is with us, showing us the love of God, the compassion of God, the salvation of God, the healing of God, the deliverance of God. And the people who said they were the people of God wouldn't even let God in. They even conspired against him. They were intimidated by him. They were concerned that he was going to have more people in his gathering than they're going to have in theirs. They tried to kill him. Matter of fact, eventually they did, only within the permission of God. So make sure that you're going to begin to see God move outside the building. We've been seeing God move outside the building, but don't put God in your box. Realize that God is moving outside the building. You want him to move everywhere. It'll cost you everything, and you have to give up your own kingdoms. But if you're willing to go after God and his kingdom, your kingdom come, your will be done, right? Here on earth, then you're going to see some amazing things.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.